Welcome to another episode of Tirapore, the show that's been proudly bringing you a fan's perspective of all things Sarze Sharks and Sarze Barracuda since 2018. As always, everything heard on this show is 100% my own personal opinion and is not affiliated with either club or the respective leagues. And now it's time for a brand new edition of Tirapore, the podcast made by a fan for the fans. To this very special bonus edition of the Tirapore Podcast as we recap the 2024 AHL Classic in the Sexy Arena. Frenzy still having what's left of the cake. Which is probably wise because Sharky's gone for the drinks as well. Pace yourselves, boys. Pace yourselves. They've had a whale of a time. They really have. I have been looking forward to doing this bonus show all year. I've been teasing you since the start of the season. And it's finally here. Finally here, we can finally now recap all the action that took place at this year's AHL Classic at Texas Arena. It's kind of good for that what we did 5 years ago, when the Sharks hosted the All-Star Weekend. Of course, that was the first ever bonus episode we did on Tirapore in our early days. We did a bonus episode where we recapped everything that went down at the All-Star Weekend. So it's good. Hope you kind of feel like that. That's absolutely amazing. So there's we're going to recap the whole 2 days. So we're going to relive all the magic. It's going to be very exciting. And can I just very quickly say before we get started, can I just say how happy I am that the AHL chose us to host this event in what is Texas Arena's second year in operations. I mean, the fact that we got awarded this event literally the season before Texas Arena was due to open. We got awarded this in 2022, so just before Texas Arena was about to open. The amount of trust the league had in this brand new building being able to host on what is the big showcase event for the American Hockey League is just absolutely amazing. So I'm just so happy about that. I'm just so thrilled that the league trusts us. Great for them to award it to a new venue, which is amazing. The National Hockey League, you could take some tips from AHL when it comes to giving out the events. You could do with some tips here. Yeah, just so amazing. So we're going to recap the whole event. So grab yourself some snacks. Those two already have. And get you some drinks in. And then we'll get ready to recap all the magic that happened over the last 2 days. Alright, so now I'm going to go through to you the rosters for all the four divisions at this year's All-Star Classic. I'm going to start with the North Division All-Stars. So I'm going to go through the roster. So these were the All-Stars representing the North Division this year. We have in the forwards, we have number 9, Angus Cruikshank. Number 18, Isaac Rawson. Number 25, Jiri Kulut. Number 39, Gage Galares. Number 64, Trey Fix-Wolanski. Number 92, Graham Clark. And number 46, Alex Steeves. In the defence, we had... So, for defenders, we had number 21, Jack Thompson. Number 23, Jake Christensen. Number 24, Logan Malu. And the netminers for the North were number 73, Jack Reber. And number 41, Dennis Hilbery. Those are the All-Stars representing the North Division. I think we will do Atlantic next. Yeah, we'll do the Atlantic Division next. So these were the All-Stars representing the Atlantic Division. So in the forwards, you had number 8, Adam Gauthier. Number 10, Georgi Makhnov. Number 17, Ruslan Iskabov. Number 27, Samu Tumulona. Number 28, Ethan Frank. Number 78, Brendan Orfman. The defenders from the North Atlantic were number 25, Dylan Coughlin. Number 32, Lucas Carlson. Number 42, Dylan McCarrop. And number 81, Mac Hollowell. And the netminders for Atlantic were number 30, Joel Blugniew. Number 31, Clay Stevenson. Those are the All-Stars for the Atlantic Division. Moving on now to the Central Division. So, these were the All-Stars representing the Central this year. So you have in the forwards, number 7, Nick Pepp. Number 11, Logan Stanknor. Number 13, Brad Lambert. Number 22, Maverick Bouquet. Number 26, Matty Blumel. Number 48, Jonathan Bergeron. Number 91, Rocco Grimde. In the defenders, number 24, Spencer Stastny. Number 38, Ethan Del Mastro. Number 77, Kyle Castagnino. Okay. So the Pacific in the forward positions, number 9, Archie Baines. Number 10, Riley Tuffey. Number 39, Matt Coronato. Number 50, Rafael Lowe. Number 54, Rodri Densko. Number 75, Josh Doan. The defenders, number 3, Olin Zellweger. Number 85, the low representative for your Barracuda, Shakia Mukhtamurlin. Number 41, Riker Evans. And number 92, Brandon Clark. The netminders for Team Pacific were number 31, Matthew Belete. Number 32, Dustin Wolf. Those are the All-Stars for Team Pacific. So there you go. So that was the rosters for this year's All-Star Classic from all four divisions. Okay, so we're going to talk to you about the jerseys that our AHL Classic All-Stars got to wear across at the weekend. I have to say, I'm a bit underwhelmed here. Because I was hoping that these were going to reflect the Barracuda, not reflect San Jose as a whole. And given how the Barracuda unveiled that brilliant resurgence era jerseys last year, the marketing of them was really, really good. I was expecting, in the lead up to the jerseys being revealed, I was kind of hoping for one based on blackout, one based on ice, one based off steel, and an orange one. Because you remember back in the SAP Centre days, the Barracuda would have a third jersey, which was an orange jersey, and it was really, really cool. In fact, Frenzy is in the orange jersey. My Frenzy, he's in the orange jersey. It's so gorgeous to see him in that. So I kind of hope for that. What we actually got was actually jerseys that reflected San Jose as a whole, and actually harked back to the Worcester Sharks. I know, so I was a bit So in actual fact, I was actually very, very underwhelmed by this, because really it kind of missed the mark, because the waist and the sleeves, there are two stripes running around them, and it kind of reminded me of the Sharks jerseys from, I think, from when I first began joining when I joined the Shark. I'm going to quickly check those. It kind of reminded of that. Let me just quickly double check. 2 seconds. So the shoulder, the sleeve, that they are based on the jersey we wore from 2008 to 2013, which I wasn't really a fan of those jerseys. But then again, I had just joined the Shark, so I couldn't really comment. But yeah, but that, so took inspiration from that. I don't know why. I'll tell you what I do though, is how on each shoulder you've got the two patches. You've got on the All-Star logo on one pack, one side, and the middle logo on the other. Closing on the front, you've got the AHL going down as diagonal. That's something we see a lot with the AHL classics. The AHL is always on the chest plate, a bit like an AHL shield is on the All-Star ones, but between the classic and the All-Star one, All-Star jersey, it just looks bulky. It's a classic to make it look smooth. So yeah, so it's a bit underwhelmed with the design with that. And all this stars, it just doesn't look right. It just wasn't. So each division was given a base. So the Atlantic division was given the black base. No prize for guessing which base the Pacific Division got. Yes, the teal base, you got it. The Central Division got the grey base. I think the Central Division is the best one that tried to resonate with Barracuda, because I think the Central Division one did look the way the shoulder block looks. It does kind of look like how it is with the steel jersey, so that's the best one trying to represent the Barracuda. And then the North Division ended up with the white. I was very, very underwhelmed with these jerseys, because I was expecting something to resonate with the Barracuda. I was expecting them to look at the Barracuda designs over the years and do something based on that, and instead end up being very, very underwhelming. So I have to say I am very, very disappointed. Actually, the North divisions also kind of look like ice as well. So the only divisions that did not look like a Barracuda jersey were the Pacific and the Atlantic, because blackout is all black. I know, because it's in my waterproof ice and steel. So two divisions had jerseys that looked like Barracuda jerseys. The other two did not. So yeah, so I gotta say, I'm disappointed. I really am. I did not want to be disappointed with these, but sadly, I am, because I did not like striping on the sleeves and on the bottom on the waist. Don't need that. So it's a shame. Because the Sharks 5 years ago when they hosted the NHL All-Star Weekend, got the jerseys right. They got them absolutely spot on. And sadly, the Barracuda have missed out here. But it's not their fault. It's the fact the Sharks have decided we're going to hark back to Stars as a whole and take inspiration from, you know, what the Barracuda were before they came to the Stars 8. Yeah, but that's not really the idea, is it? That's not really the idea. You know, it should be... these jerseys should represent the Barracuda. They should hark back to Barracuda jerseys, and sadly, they do not, which is a real shame. So, yeah, a miss there on the jersey, I'm afraid. A real miss. Alright, it's now time to start reviewing the action. And we begin, obviously, with the skills competition that took place on the 4th of February. And it was the West who was the best in the skills competition by 18-13. So Ontario Reign rookie Miranda Clark and Colorado Eagles forward Riley Tufel led the Western Conference to an 18-13 win in the 2024 AHL All-Star Skills Competition on Sunday evening at Texas Arena. So Clark became the fifth AHL player ever to hit four targets in four attempts in the Sharks' ice accuracy shooting event, and also earned a point for the Western Conference by defeating his older brother, Graham Clark, of the Utica Comets in an in Glasgow puck control relay heat. Tufe won the CCM hardest shot competition with a blast clocked at 100.9 miles per hour, 1/10 of a second better than the Hershey Bears captain Dylan Mukarov. The Bears from Frank won his second consecutive CCM fastest skater title with a time of 13.032 seconds. Only his record setting lap of 12.915 seconds in 2023 has been fastest in the event's history. Jasper Wallstedt of the Iowa Wild and Jet Greaves of the Cleveland Monsters shared CCM top goaltender honours by stopping 15 of 18 shots each over three goaltending events. The 2024 AHL All-Star Classic presented by Texas Arena will continue obviously on Monday with the AHL Hall of Fame induction and awards ceremony, featuring the instrument of Dennis Bourbet, Gordy Clark, Jerry Ullman and Roy Summer, and also celebrating honorary All-Star Classic and Wayne. So there you have it. So that is how the All-Star Skills Competition went down. Just a quick recap there. And the Western Conference getting the best of the Eastern Conference by 18-13. And now it's time to look back on the All-Star Classic itself, which of course took place on the 5th of February. It was the Pacific Division who was victorious thanks to the Canucks' very own Archie Raines, who scored with 12.9 seconds left to give the Pacific Division a 3-2 win over the Atlantic Division in the championship game, and its second consecutive title in the 2024 AHL All-Star Challenge on Monday night at Texas Arena. Mason mentions the fourth from the Augsburg Canucks, finished the night with 2 goals and 3 assists, and he earned the All-Star Challenge Most Valuable Player honours. a day after travel delays had caused him to miss the skills competition on Sunday evening. In the round robin tournament, a series of 3-on-3 games played amongst the AHL's thirds. The AHL's co-leader with 24 goals this season scored 3 times for the Atlantic Division. The Chicago Wolves' Rocco Grimaldi and the Manitoba Moose's Brad Lumber recorded 2 goals and 2 assists each for the Central Division, and Angus Cruikshank Hank of the Bellevue Senators led the North Division with a pair of goals. The Iowa's Jesper Watt led all goaltenders with a .833 save percentage on the evening, stopping 15 of 18 shots. The 2024 NHL All-Star Challenge featured 24 for the first or second round NHL draft picks and 28 players who have skated in the National Hockey League already this season. And then obviously league action would resume on the Friday. So I'll go through those results now. I've got more for you. So guys, here are the 2024 Edge All-Star Challenge results. So there were 6 games to decide who would play in the championship match. So in game 1, you had North Division 1, Pacific Division 1. That was a shootout tie. In game 2, Central Division 4, Atlantic Division 1. Game 3, North Division 3, Central Division 2 in a shootout. Game 4, Atlantic Division 2, Pacific Division 2 in a shootout tie. Game 5, Atlantic Division 6, North Division 1. And in game 6, Pacific Division 4, Central Division 3 in a shootout. Then the championship game features the Pacific Division, the North and Atlantic Division. Fast going, that was Pacific Division 3, Atlantic Division 2. So there you go, Pacific Division making it back-to-back championships. We'll have to wait and see next year at actual Arena Coachella if they can make it free. But there you go, that is how things went down at the AHL All-Star Challenge. Okay, so just before we go, I mean, we've covered pretty much all the festivities that happened over the past 2 days. But before we go, I just wanted to quickly read you this article that is on edge.com that was posted during the weekend. I thought it was really, really quite inspiring, and I'd like to read it out to you guys. So the headline read, All-Star Events, a showcase for booming San Jose sports market. So the Hockey League develops so much more than on-ice talent. People in front offices across the league's 32 teams map are honing their own skills as well. Whether it's accounting, marketing, sales, executive roles or more, these people help to put on a show in each city 36 nights each season. And amongst the most significant tests that any AHL club is hosting the annual AHL All-Star Classic. The Zaza Barracuda are hosting the 2024 AHL All-Star Classic presented by TechCU, and nearly 2 years have gone into planning and bringing the 2-day event to the Bay Area. But when tragedy struck the Barracuda last month, they had to pull together even more. Frank Torres, who was the team's Vice President of Business Operations, passed away suddenly on January the 15th, at the very young age of 38. A 16-year veteran of AHL front offices, Torres had come to Zaza to help the Barracuda as they opened Texas Arena last season. Now, the Zaza front office has had a friend and a colleague to mourn, as well as flagship league event to complete. It's a unique time for us, with the passing of Frank, said team president John Gustafson. Our staff has done an amazing job pulling together and getting ready for the event. Torres did considerable work to help the Barracuda pull off this endeavour, as well as making inroads in a competitive sports market. First and foremost, he was our leader. Customers then. His staff adored him, and he was a very well respected leader in our organisation. He had done great work in pushing our AHR business forward, and we were definitely starting to see the fruits of his labour. He had started to bring in his own staff. We were definitely going in the right direction. When the Barracuda came to town, they played out of SAP Centre, the building that houses the parents of SA Sharks. The SAP Centre holds more than 17,000 for hockey, and the Barracuda found themselves looking for facility to call their own. Tepsi Arena opened in 2022 as an addition to Sharks Ice at San Jose. The organization's practice facility and a bustling community ring complex. It provides the Barracuda with a more intimate setting, the ability to tailor the game experience to their crowd, and more scheduling options. The Barracuda share one of the US's largest markets for the Sharks, as well as NBA, NFL, MLB, MLS and NWSL teams in the region, along with several college athletic programs. That's a lot of competition for the sports dollar. We certainly knew that was always going to be a challenge, Gustafson said, of bringing the AHL to Northern California. We always looked at it as an opportunity as well, where we potentially could bring our game to folks that may not necessarily have the ability to come to the AHL or a major league event. The AHL is the second best hockey league in the world, and the Bay Area is a crazy hockey market. It gives our fans the ability to see the future of hockey. Gustafson and the Sharks organization view the Barracuda as a means to develop business talent, capable of someday working at the AHL level as well. It's a great proving ground from our business side, Gustafson continued. The AHL is traditionally a lot of new folks that are coming to try and stretch their legs from business and sports backgrounds. This allows us to go and see what people can do, give them the opportunity to grow and expand. There's a nice pathway for people to go from the AHL to the AHL. So effectively, we are developing only our hockey players, but our team's staff as well. Few projects will test that growth for the office staff as much as welcoming the rest of the league to an annual showcase event like the AHL All-Star Classic. Along with that fight for the attention of Bay Area sports fans, the Barracuda also find themselves wrestling to attract top employees in a job market packed with corporate competition. It's not every day that you get to put on an AHL All-Star, Ben Gustafson explained. Certainly, it allows folks to spread their wings, develop and try new things, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. I think that's what drives great employees to various employers, the opportunity to do something different, to do something unique, and to put their stamp on it. I think that's what everybody wants. Just an opportunity to create something of their own. Gustafson and his staff are already seeing the work pay off after all these months. Meetings, planning sessions, and late nights. Staff from Sharks Sports and Entertainment, the organization's parent company, have been able to pitch in as well where needed. We're excited to have a full building both nights, has been said. We've got great title partners. We're honoured and excited to be able to do this and to bring this event to Zaza. Now all we've got to do is enjoy it. Absolutely. So there's a really great article there, yeah, just to highlight, you know, what this event has really done in what is a really booming Zaza sports market, and which has proudly housed the Sharks and Barracuda all these years. So it's a really, really touching article there. So just what was a great way to finish off this very special episode of our show, which has been looking back on a very, very special event. You've been listening to Cheer Report, the podcast made by a fan for the fans, brought to you by Spotify for Podcasters. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. For all latest Tier Report bids, subscribe to my official George Hand YouTube channel. Don't forget, we always would love to hear from our fans. You can email us at tierreportpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear you, and we could read out your messages on the show. And while you're at it, why don't you give us a 5-star rating and leave a review? Not only does it help boost our self-esteem, but it also helps new fans find our amazing and wonderful show. Well, until next time, all that means stays, and so I'll leave you now.